in like early elementary school, I was making like really bad like Python RPG games, and like in middle school, I was making these video games in Unity and C Sharp. Early high school, I was doing like mobile development with like Swift. I only actually started web development in October of 2019, and then
Right.
I was making a bunch of things in December and like November. I just made a bunch of stuff, and I released the coronavirus website kind of late December, early January, so it was pretty fast.
Welcome to the Next Big Pivot podcast. My name is Bernardo de la Vega, and through the process of building and selling 2 7-figure companies and launching a tech company, I became a big fan of entrepreneurs who pivot successfully. In this podcast, I'm going to be sharing with you the stories of founders and CEOs that made their big pivot so that you can learn why and how they did it. To learn more about the best way to pivot your business online, head over to thenextbigpivot.com. Welcome to another episode of The Next Big Pivot. Today, we have a very, very interesting guest on the show. I think he's so interesting that, I was just talking to him, and he's almost like a little, like a young, not a little, but a young Elon Musk, right? And in terms of we were just talking about some of the ideas he has, and it's just quite impressive listening to just kind of like talk about all these ideas that he has in his head and the things he wants to sort of go after. So welcome, Avi. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. This is quite interesting. Like I said, we were talking earlier about kind of like everything that you're thinking of doing. So can you kind of start us off with a little bit of who you are and some of the things that you've done?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Avi Schiffman. I'm 17 years old. I turn 18 though in about a month. I live around like Seattle, Washington-ish area. And I'd say the biggest thing I've made so far is the coronavirus website that has gotten a lot of attention. That was a website I started back in kind of like early January, late December-ish, back when basically nobody knew about the virus. And I made that website for many different reasons. I mean, at the time, it was really hard to find information on the upcoming virus. If I wanted the most up-to-date numbers, I'd have to go to Chinese government websites and, read Chinese. I don't speak Chinese. And it's also just government websites are terrible. They look like they're made in a billion years ago, especially ones from like China and stuff. It's just not a nice way to find the information, but the information is there. And then there's also news articles, but they're mostly out of date by the time I read them anyways. And, they're not like dynamically updating or anything like that. And, they're not like a standalone easy thing I can just go to. So I just had the idea to make like a simple dashboard to view this. And I also had a basically already coded a very similar thing before this in kind of like in December, kind of mid-December before the virus is like known to the world. I had made something for my school because for a very similar reason, in Washington State, all the public high schools, all their sport information for the high schools is all goes through this thing called Kinko. But their website sucks. Like, it's also a website that looks like it was made a billion years ago. It's very unusable. It's like on a mobile device, you just flat out can't use it. It just doesn't work on your phone. But again, the information is there. So what I did was I coded a couple web scrapers and I got that information. And then I took the design of ESPN and I merged them together and I made this really cool site that had just like a really nice UI. It worked really well on a phone, all that kind of stuff like that. And I made it all branded for my high school. And my high school really liked that. And I was actually going to continue working on that with them and make something for this spring semester and have it like all over the school. It was really cool. But then, of course, the pandemic happened. But anyways, once I heard about the virus and stuff like that, I thought it would be pretty cool to just, make like that simple dashboard. And I didn't really have to do much to make the first version because I had already written, most of the same stuff. Like, all I have to do is just change the web scrapers a little bit. The tables on Ncov are the same as the one on the sporting website. They're just a different color. They have different keys for the table headers. And so, yeah, I mean, that was just the reason why I started it. And then, I had like, I just posted it online on, various places, mostly on Reddit, really. And kind of partnered with the original kind of r/coronavirus subreddits. So that was kind of initial, just kind of boost, just because there weren't like any COVID trackers back then. There was no API I could use or anything like that. So I had, I don't know, maybe like 30,000 users a day, something like that for a while. It was kind of like plateaued though. But then eventually, sometime in early February, there was, it was beginning to become much of a bigger thing, the whole Ncov kind of disease. And an interesting thing as well that shows how old my website is that the domain is terrible. It's so hard to remember and even say, like ncov2019.live is terrible. But the reason why it's named that is because back then, COVID-19, like that didn't exist. That was not a term back then. The unofficial name for the virus was ncov2019. And I remember watching The Who when they announced COVID-19 and all the domains were bought like within seconds. But anyways, so in kind of early February, I noticed that, you know, the pandemic wasn't even really a pandemic at that point, but, you know, it was starting to spread more. And the first case in the United States was like January 26th, I think, something like that. And I posted in my local kind of community thing. We have something called Nextdoor. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's kind of like hyper-local Facebook or something that. It's just like my local community. I don't really use it or anything, but, you know, there's just a lot of community people that are on there. So I was like, you know, hey, you know, there's this upcoming virus or whatever. If you're interested in seeing the numbers of it or anything like that, I made this website. You can check it out. And someone from that community then gave a tip to a local tech blogger in Seattle who then it was GeekWire. They're like some tech kind of blogger or whatever. And they wrote something and that became really popular. And like within 24 hours, it was on national news. And, you know, wait a couple more hours and it was on international news. And, you know, since then, I've just done tons of media things, you know, everything from, you know, Al Jazeera to like The Daily Show kind of stuff. And, you know, it skyrocketed. I think the peak was kind of like March 23rd or something like that, which was like, you know, peak times, you know, because right now it's not that interesting to see. Like, I don't even check my own website that much. I don't care if there's like, I don't know, a couple hundred new cases in France. You know, that's not a big deal. But back in the early days when, you know, the website apps at peak popularity and everyone was, you know, looking up stuff about COVID, you know, it was really interesting because not all the countries were infected yet either. So I had a counter on my website where it was like, you know, this many countries out of 195 are infected. And then every single day you would see like, oh, now France is infected. Now, you know, Ireland is infected. So it was really interesting to watch my website back then. And one other thing too I could talk about as well is the design of my website. I made that specifically also to work really well on mobile devices because, like I said, those government sites just are terrible on phones. So, for example, if you visit my website on a mobile device, the first thing you see is just the quick facts. So you see the total confirmed cases, you know, the total deceased, you know, all that kind of stuff is just right there at a glance. And then you can scroll down and see more information. But all of that, you know, quick glance information is right there. You don't have to search through, you know, government websites or anything like that. So yeah, that's pretty much the basic story.
Interesting. Very quite a progress there that you made from like, you know, like your high school sort of website. You know, I thought it was really cool when you said we kind of use the sort of like the ESPN kind of sort of layout. That was cool.
I have some pictures of it. It looks pretty much like the ESPN thing. Like I took the same colors and all that kind of stuff like that. It was pretty cool. And it was really easy to take that and put it into the COVID website just because, I mean, it's like when Facebook was made, Mark Zuckerberg already had most of the things coded for just that general kind of stuff. I mean, that was just general kind of simple things to make, right? It's just putting them together and then, you know, changing the table headers and all that kind of stuff. And then bam, it's a completely new website. It's like NCOV is basically a reskinned version of the sports website. Really, just a lot more complicated. Because now there's.
But then it's just you said, like, you know, therefore NCOV, but it's still just like one big website of where you're just aggregating that data from all over the internet. Much.
Okay. Yeah. Right now there's about maybe around like 250 individual web scrapers. So what I find really cool about my website too is that I don't use any APIs or anything like that. You know, now there's been so many new COVID trackers, you know, everyone has one. Google has one, which I think is really unfair because if you just use Google, which everyone uses Google, then why go to individual websites when they just have like their own little thing? So I thought that was a little unfair. But at this point, they made it so late into the game, like I don't really care. And now there's like, you know, Johns Hopkins, World, I mean, I've seen so many really small ones too. There's tons of them. But when I made mine, those didn't exist. There was no easy way to get that information. You know, I saw this one comment that said my website they could have made in a couple hours just because, you know, they could just use an API or something like that. I was not able to do that. My website still is way faster than any site I've even seen. It updates faster than everyone that I found on the internet. So I still find that cool. There was this article in the New York Times where they were talking about how the CDC is old and slow. and how this, and there was this one like little paragraph about how the CDC was like mortified to find out that some kid was able to update numbers faster than the agency itself. So I'm faster than my own government. So that's kind of cool. But I mean, there's that's so awesome. Many specific web scrapers. I mean, there's PDF readers. Yeah. There's like all kinds of complicated stuff. Right. Some sites, one of the biggest problems about this too is that a lot of them like to change format. And when they change format, you have to, you know, fix it, which is a big hassle. You know, if I was just using some API, it would be so much easier. But, you know, what's the fun in that? And, you know, that there was no API when I made this in the first place.
Right.
You know, like I see a lot of developers online that have commented saying how simple my site is really to code. And really, it isn't. It's not like I invented some new technology or anything like that, right? It's pretty simple. I think if you're like a Google engineer and you couldn't figure out how to code my website, you know, then you shouldn't be working at Google because it's really not that hard. And right. I'm not a great programmer at all. You know, there's plenty of ways it could probably have been made more efficient, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then I, you know, what my response would be is just, okay, then why didn't you make it then? You know, if you are able to do that and you're going to complain how easy it is, then why didn't you make it in the first place, you know, back in early January kind of things. It's just, I think that's the more important part. Less the fact that, you know, it's not some groundbreaking new technology, but the fact that I did it in the first place before the virus even had a name.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, but going through that process that you went through, I think is one thing that is very interesting is obviously you had this really like super fast growth from like, you know, working on a website for your high school to then like, you know, being, you know, sort of local news in Seattle, then the national news and then international. And then you were getting interviewed all over the place. But so that in terms of your popularity, it grew really fast. But in terms of your progression, you seem to be extremely, extremely good at learning. Like there's got to be something there that you've realized like, okay, I can learn really fast. And I know you've said that you learn all over the internet, but what is it that makes you really good at learning?
I mean, I would just say like, I think a lot of people want to learn how to code, right? You know, it's a big thing people look at. But I think one of the biggest things that is an issue with people trying to do that is I think there's two things you really need to be able to do if you're going to start learning coding. One is you need to be able to just sit at a computer for a really long time. You know, I could sit at my desktop for like 2 days straight if I wanted to, but you know, really, you know, stay there for like, you know, 8 hours a day and I'm completely fine by that. A lot of normal people, they only go on their computer for like, you know, 20 minutes a day maybe or something like that, you know, just checking their email or anything. Like that's fine. That's completely fine. I'm just saying, if you want to learn coding, it's such a self taught thing. Even if you go to university, all this thing like that, you're not spending time teaching you the syntax or anything like that. You're supposed to be learning it yourself. Like my mom is a doctor, for example, and she's always having to learn, you know, the new things. It's such a changing industry, right? Mm-hmm. You always have to be learning. It's like being a professor, you know, you always have to be learning what's new, what's upcoming. And with coding, it's always like that too. You know, every year there's some new big tech stack that you're supposed to, you know how to use and all these kind of things like that. So it's such a industry where you always have to be, you know, learning by yourself. And I think that you just really need to be able to sit at a computer for a long time. And I think that you also need to just know how to use a computer well. Like I have been coding for like over a decade by now, which is weird to say because I'm only 17. But but you know, like I just know how to use a computer very well in terms of just, you know, managing files and, you know, what like file formats to this, to that, just all that kind of stuff, just general knowledge about knowing how to use a computer. I think is those two things are very important. So a lot of people try and learn coding, you know, but they can't even sit at a computer for longer than an hour straight. And, you know, that kind of stuff is very hard. And so I'd say that makes me better in terms of learning just because I'm so used to learning computer stuff that, you know, I could learn practically any software. I mean, I know so many specific things that aren't just coding. I mean, I know all kinds of video editing platforms, 3D modeling programs, audio editing programs, all kinds of things. And once you learn one program, it's very easy to learn another. Like this 3D modeling program, I have pretty much the same, like just key things that you would use, the same like hotkeys and stuff like that. And just the way you move around in 3D space is pretty similar from one program to another. And most programming languages too are relatively similar. Like I'm right now learning PHP, which is a language I've never used. It's a server-side programming language, right? For ENCOV, I used Node.js, which is server-side JavaScript. They're two completely different languages, but it took me no time at all to learn PHP, really. And now I'm able to start doing all kinds of advanced things in PHP after, like, I don't know, maybe a couple hours, not even. It took me like 30 minutes, maybe, of just skimming through this YouTube tutorial, because all the main thing is just the different syntax. And once you're able to figure that out, then you're, you know, off to the races, because, you know, really the only basic different kind of stuff like that would just be, you know, the way you write if statements. But if you actually understand how variables work, how, you know, conditional statements work, then, you know, it's very easy to go from one language to learning another. Like if I know French, I can easily learn Italian because I've already, you know, learned all those kinds of
whatever. Romance language, right? They're all
Yeah. I mean, like they're very similar, and most programming languages are very similar, unless you're talking about like, you know, assembly or something like that. That's just very different. But you know, like C sharp and like Java or something like that, you know, if you know one or the other, I mean, it's pretty similar to really learn the other one. If you understand the basic concepts of just how programming works, then it's pretty easy to just go from all those kind of things. Like when I was working on this website, I wanted to get it out as fast as possible, but I also wanted to make sure that it could scale properly. So I didn't just want to use like simple servers like I'd used before. I wanted to actually, you know, get like a thing. So I used DigitalOcean for my servers, and I used this virtual private server, and that was running Ubuntu, which I'd never really used before. So in like a weekend, I stayed up for like 2 days straight, and I just kind of taught myself the basics of Ubuntu, and how to use it in like my terminal, basic security things. And now I understand, you know, how to SSH into my server, you know, all kinds of root things, all that kind of stuff. I just taught myself in a weekend or whatever. And I feel like it's just the way to make things. Like I'm not a very good programmer, honestly. There are people that are way better at it than me. I think a lot of people read these articles and they think I'm some kind of genius coder, but it's really not that. It's really just about, you know, seeing an opportunity to make something and just figuring it out along the way. I mean, most of the coronavirus website, I didn't know how to do beforehand. Like 90% of it, I just learned as I was working on it. You know, instead of learning how to make every single shape and, you know, every single color, you know, I just learned at the specific moment, if I need to make a circle red, I just figure out how to make a circle red instead of learning all that beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, well, what I see is that your kind of like your main competitive advantage is you're able to really focus really, really well, like you said, for like an extended period of time. And therefore, sort of like within that focus, obviously you have like the sort of the passion, but you're able to really see all these different sort of like patterns, and you've learned all these different type of languages. I find it quite funny that you say, you know, you've been coding for 10 years and you're 17. So I don't know, like, you know, in a way you could consider yourself, I mean, like I said, you said, you know, a lot of people have called you kid genius, but if you start coding at 7, that's
I guess quite a... I mean, I've done all kinds of different things throughout, you know, I guess my life. I mean, like in like early elementary school, I was making like really bad like Python RPG games. And like in middle school, I was making these video games in Unity and C#. Right. You know, early high school, I was doing like mobile development with like Swift and stuff like that.
I mean, that's...
I only actually started web development in October of 2019. And then I was making a bunch of things in December and like November. I just made a bunch of stuff. And I released the coronavirus website kind of late December, early January. So that was pretty fast. Yeah.
But that's exactly like the Elon story. Because I remember I read a book. wasn't he doing? He was doing games like when he was like 11 or 12. And then all of a sudden, you know, like he even got bullied because he was just so into games. But he was writing these games at such a young age.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these stories are pretty similar where you just, you know, it's not like all of a sudden I had the epiphany to start learning coding and then I decided to make this coronavirus website. You know, I've been coding for just so long.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I've gotten older, I've learned more, you know, real world skills in terms of, you know, now I want to, you know, get into start making companies and all that kind of stuff like that. Right. Which is a whole different thing than making, you know, video games in middle school or something like that. Yeah. And you know, I used to also, before the pandemic, I would go to hackathons like all the time. I live in around Seattle. So there's a lot of these kind of events that are happening a lot. And, you know, I'd go to them and I would always be the only kid. I never saw another kid my entire time. I've gone to like, I don't know, 15 hackathons. I've never seen another kid. It's always just been me as like the random high school student, which has been weird, but I've won, you know, tens of thousands of dollars from going to these hackathons. So, I did this one and we won like a ton of money. It was great. It was this government hackathon. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, I feel like I think going to hackathon too, if you're a kid and you're learning coding, or even if you're not a kid, just anyone in general, going to hackathons is such a great way to learn stuff, just because most people there don't really know what they're doing, unless you're like at some hackathon in like Facebook or something like that, just a normal hackathon, most people are there that are pretty early to start and know things. I mean, I remember going to a hackathon when I didn't know any HTML and the dudes at the table were just teaching me, you know, basic stuff. It's a great way to learn how to work with other people too.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a great thing to put on your resume if you're applying for like a computer science job or something like that. You know, it shows that you're able to work with team members, you know, on a short deadline. You know, I'd have to make something in like 24 hours, right? I remember one time I stayed in the Amazon building overnight. We stayed for like 24 hours straight. Like all the other teams left, but one of our team members was an Amazon employee. So we just stayed in the office in the Amazon Doppler building in Seattle for like 24 hours straight. That was actually the government hackathon. Okay. It was really cool. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So going into, you know, as you talk about like your, you know, before you were doing games and now you're looking at startups, obviously your way of looking at things is quite interesting. So what are some of the like the things, and we were talking about this before, but what are some of the things that you say like, okay, this is kind of what I would like to build well within the next 5 years, but I would really like you to take more importantly, like, okay, in like 15 years, because I think mm-hmm. you're, you know, like your mind can really,
yeah.
like looking at all these new technologies, like in 15 years, what are the kind of things that you're like, I'd like to build this, even though it seems like, you know, a lot of people will be like, that's so out there.
Yeah.
But if you call it out, I'm sure at some point it will be like, yeah, I called it out this in the interview like 15 years ago.
Sure. I'd say that, you know, in the next 5 years, if that's like, you know, a simple deadline to think about, I would probably want to, I don't want to do anything super crazy revolutionary just right now, just because that would be really hard and I need something to fall back on. Another thing that's nice too, is that I can always fall back and get a job working at some kind of tech company or whatever, right?
I don't think you should get a job. I think you're so much smarter than that, but
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to work at any of those companies at all. I've gotten many offers from these companies too, but a lot of them have very weird things like Epic. I don't know if I want to talk about too many things if I'm allowed to, but like Epic Games, for example, one of the requirements to be an engineer there is that I couldn't have any media and I couldn't do any side projects at the same time.
And you couldn't get interviewed?
I couldn't be doing this interview right now. You're not allowed really to be like a person in the media.
Because that's still a private company also.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's like that at probably most places too. But yeah, and you also aren't allowed to do side projects, which is exactly what I do. I mean, I do side projects on my side projects. I mean, the sports website was a procrastination from a much bigger project I was working on in the first place.
Okay.
Yeah, and the pandemic website was actually a procrastination of the sports website because I had no idea it was going to turn into a pandemic and cancel the spring season, right? So,
well, when you say procrastination, like you mean an extension?
It's mostly
of it,
working on a really big project, but losing motivation for that and getting sidetracked with other smaller things.
I see.
You know, like it's hard to keep motivation when you're working on something for months on end. I mean, I worked on this one app for like 7 months straight, and by the end, I just like it got like rejected or something like that, and I just had so little motivation, and I'd already learned so much that I just, you know, just went on to the next project. You know, I've made so many things in the past, but the amount of things I've actually released, you know, publicly and all that kind of stuff like that is very small, only maybe like, you know, five at the most or something like that. But I've worked on probably hundreds of things, but everything I've done, you know, I've learned stuff from, like that app I spent like 8 months on. I had never used databases or anything like that before, but I learned
how to
use
it. When you said it got rejected, what do you mean it got rejected?
It was some kind of Snapchat thing. So it got rejected by Snapchat for using like some SnapKit thing.
It was some kind of hassle.
They just had some weird thing. And by the end, I just didn't care. And their support was so terrible. Like they just, it was terrible.
But it was an app built on Snap.
Well, yeah, because now that this pandemic website became so popular and I've talked to so many interesting people, one of the persons I've talked to is Evan Spiegel, who's the CEO of Snapchat.
Right.
And so I brought it up to him saying how I actually made something for Snapchat. But I got rejected, and he actually offered to, like, you know, personally go and fix that or whatever. But it's been so long, I don't really care anymore.
You're like, I've moved on.
I mean, I don't even have the. I mean, I guess I have the code, but it's been so long, and it's
you guys missed your chance. I've moved on.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly would have been really cool, but whatever.
Right.
It was basically something like YOLO before that, so it was cool, whatever. But yeah, so in the next couple of years, I hope to make some kind of internet company that I can learn to grow from, you know, learn to get into that industry of, you know, raising money, working with employees, growing a user base, all that kind of stuff. A lot of the things I've learned from this pandemic website, I learned just while I was working on it. You know, you can't, like, I was up at 3 a.m. editing random logs in my, Ubuntu server or something like that. And you can't just learn that stuff beforehand because you don't even know what to learn. It's a lot of these things you just learn in the moment that are very valuable, for the next time you do it. So I want to start making those kind of things, and hopefully I can make a decent amount of money. I'm hoping to make, a couple dozen million to at least a couple hundred million or something like that, hopefully before I'm 25 or something would be kind of nice. I mean, I'm applying to Stanford if they accept me, which would be nice. Then I don't care at all about getting a degree or anything like that. But that's where I would be going, I guess, next fall. It's more about just being around interesting people and, in an interesting place where everyone is thinking, I guess, the same way I'm thinking. Like Snapchat was founded at Stanford, and it was just, some dude at a dorm party just said something like, what if we had photos that, deleted after a couple seconds or something like that? And they're like, oh, sorry. That's that's such a cool idea. And then they, run out of the dorm room and bam, it's a $1 billion company kind of thing. I feel like that kind of stuff just doesn't happen if I'm just staying in my room all day, right? So I want to, that's the main reason why I want to go to Stanford to find that kind of stuff. So that's something I'd like to do in the next, couple years, I guess. Mm-hmm. Do that, work on growing, companies, et cetera. And then once I have enough money and just kind of knowledge about all that kind of stuff like that, then I feel like I can start doing the whole Elon Musk kind of stuff like that, where you're just working on things like space companies. I'm really interested as well in Neuralink kind of stuff. I'd like to make my own kind of Neuralace thing, I don't know what stage it'll be at by the time I'm actually able to make something like that. Because that's not something you can just make in your room, right? You need tons of money for that. You need just all kinds of knowledge and all that kind of stuff like that. And I'd like to make something like that because I feel like that's just going to completely change society in so many ways, hopefully for the better. For example, if we're talking right now, or I tweet something or something like that, the actual thoughts I have in my head, I have to compress so much into human language and just English, right, and everything like that to actually convey my thoughts to you, right? But right, imagine if we could just connect our brains and just think at 1,000 thoughts per second or something crazy like that.
Yep.
Compression to our actual thoughts, all that kind of stuff like that. And that's just one small thing. I mean, there's so many things I feel like, right, that specific brain kind of, I feel like, brain and AI, yeah, and computer stuff will be one of the biggest defining things of the next couple decades. We're just going to see such a massive increase of that. And I really feel like that's going to be the stuff that's the new Apple kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just such important technology like the iPhone or the Macintosh to just completely change just everything, hopefully for the better. That's kind of more farther goals. I'd also like to do a lot of really cool things just in general, besides just computer stuff. I think that a lot of the governments, and just it's similar to a big company and everything like that, they're very slow to actually do things just because there's so much, red tape and everything like that. You can see how fast SpaceX is able to do things compared to NASA, just because at NASA, they have to worry about, their funding, and every administration wants something different, all that kind of stuff like that. It's such a hassle. So I feel like as an individual, I can do a lot more for things like climate change and all that kind of stuff like that if I'm just, I have the ability to do that and the resources to actually help in that way. I feel like I can do a lot more than my government or something like that. And I feel like that would be pretty cool. I mean, this is later down the line eventually. I'm only 17 right now. So, next couple of years is, mm-hmm, really just learning how to grow bigger companies and, getting that kind of capital to my name, and I don't know, whatever happens.
And what you said, I think that specifically, the Neuralink is specifically, applies to people like you, because Elon talks about that, is specifically true with really, really smart people, right? In other words, they have to decompress, compress and then communicate. And then the other person needs to decompress the information and receive it, right?
Uh-huh,
so
you're right.
Because there's so much time lost between this really complex idea, but if it's if you don't have to compress and decompress and it's just automatically communicated, which is, mm-hmm, kind of what you're talking
about. Yeah, I mean, that would just be so cool if I'm able to just talk to you, right, about some crazy thought I have in my mind. Like that, I was telling you earlier before we started how I have that idea for that club thing, right?
Right.
I understand that in my head, completely in many different ways, but, mm-hmm, actually like speaking it to you that way you can actually understand, like, you know, in a simple kind of way, that idea is pretty hard. But if I was able to just somehow take all that knowledge and just like give it to you somehow, like that would be really cool and a much easier way to, I mean, can you imagine what, like, you know, like investor kind of pitches are going to be like in the future, where you just like take all that kind of, it'd be so cool. Or, you know, when you're a baby, you just get some kind of chip into your brain and you're instantly like, you know, at the capability of some like PhD student or something. It'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that things are getting better and better. I mean, in terms of just the amount of knowledge that each individual human has. I mean, right now I can use my phone, right? And I can basically search anything in human knowledge, you know, in a couple of seconds with this device. But if I was able to just, like, imagine if you're able to just query, like, your internet, like the internet or your mind or anything like that, like it's a database or something, or like a search. Like, if I can just think, you know, who was the 31st president, and I just know that it's this person just because my brain somehow, you know, does a Wikipedia search or something like that, right? And I just have that information that's then, like, you know, electrically put into my brain or whatever. That would be so cool. And make just individual people just so much smarter. I mean, can you imagine a debate where each person just has knowledge of just unlimited, basically, knowledge? Like, the sum total knowledge of just human and entire history of that you just have at any, you know, given point in your mind. And, like, you know, the brain can probably hold some kind of amount of memories or something. It's probably, I mean, you can't hold unlimited amount of stuff. But if you have some kind of, imagine if you have like a cloud storage thing but for your memories and stuff too, and you can hold anything. I mean, you could replay your movies of your dreams, all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, it's just so many potentials. And I feel like during my lifetime and yours and everything like that, I really think this will happen relatively soon. And once we get to these points, I mean, I really think stuff is really, really, really going to start taking off in terms of just technology and things. I feel like so many different things are just slowly converging into each other. You know, we have like 3D printing and AI. I mean, like, when you combine these two things and stuff like that, then you have space stuff too. Like, there's this really cool company that's 3D printing rocket ships. How cool is that? Like, this is so cool. I forget what their name is, but, you know, that's such a just cool thing and everything like that. I saw this one company that has these little 3D printer kind of like little robot things, and they there's hundreds of them, and they work together. And imagine that in like space, you could just build massive mega structures, like, you know, the fictional spaceships that we see. There's all kinds of, you know, thousands of little, you know, 3D printer droids, kind of things like that. They're just like, you know, oozing out steel to just make such a massive spaceship or something. And there's so many possibilities of things in the future. And I'm pretty excited for all that kind of stuff like that. You know, I'm starting off pretty simple, just making some, you know, generic company kind of thing like that, because that that, you know, that works. You can take some, you can go to like India or something like that, take some idea, bring it to United States or vice versa, and now you're a millionaire, you know, just another name on TechCrunch or whatever. But I want to do more than that. You know, I feel like there's so many more things to do. Elon Musk is kind of, he does a lot of controversial things, but
on Twitter
it's similar, you know, in the way that he's just doing so many different industries and so many things like that. You know, I find that very cool.
Like, you know, it just kind of like follows that pattern we talked about. Like, he's gotten really good at learning, right? Because he started talking about like rocket science and solar energy and like electric energy and, you know, like all these things that he's trying to sort of like do with like taking people to kind of like to the moon and all these things. But and earlier what you were saying about, you know, it's kind of like the Matrix of where they're there, and then they're like, okay, I need to learn how to drive this helicopter, and then it's like boom, and then like now you know
how
to
knowledge.
Right.
I mean, I think it'll really change society in so many different ways, because it'll really honestly start becoming really possible too. Where you're able to just, like, everyone is just Mozart in terms of their knowledge of, like, you know, piano skills or something like that. So how is that going to change just the world when everyone is just amazing at everything?
Right.
And also, I feel like that could cause many problems too, where, you know, I mean, it could just be such a more divide too between richer people and stuff like that, where just, you know, Jeff Bezos just really has such a superhuman brain then compared to just like, you know, me or something like that. So, you know, there's many things to think about as we move into that kind of realm. I think that it'll happen whether I exist or not. There will be someone else. There'll be another teenager that makes another pandemic website that I'll, you know, make it instead. I think we are moving into this kind of thing, and there's so many people that are doing that. And I hope to get, you know, my piece of the pie before it's too late. You know, I don't like Neuralink is cool and everything like that. They're doing the early stages, but, you know, I hope that I can eventually start, you know, getting into that realm of doing all that kind of stuff, just because there's so much stuff happening. I really want to get in on all that.
But why do you say it before it's too late? Why? Because like you feel like AI at one point will kind of take over?
Well, I mean, because like right now, it's not like I could make, like if Neuralink is already the iPhone, you know, it's hard to make them a competitor to that, right? You know, I guess you could have like Android and iPhone or something like that. But, you know, I want to make the first kind of major thing, like how you have like, you know, crappy phones or whatever, and all of a sudden the iPhone comes out and just completely changes everything, right? I mean, that kind of stuff is so cool. And I'd like to do that. I mean, there's so many things. There's so many industries out there. It's just, you know, I wish I could live forever on so many things to do. I only have two hands. And I'm only 17. So.
Yeah. But I read, you know, besides obviously you have like you were saying you have a passion for 3D modeling. You also have a passion for video editing. Is there something there that, you know, pretty much everything. But, you know, and I saw you did tons and tons of tutorials on YouTube. as well, is there something there like from like obviously right now the massive sort of industry that is booming is ed tech? Is there something there in terms of like video and sort of like education there that you're looking at, like maybe this angle there I can like create something really amazing? Because as you said like, okay, I might go to Stanford, that sounds really cool, but for the connections, not so much for kind of like the learning or the degree, but for the connections. But obviously, everything that's going on right now, EdTech is, there's a massive disruption there. Is there something there that you see?
I mean, yeah, that's a very competitive field and everything like that. I mean, I think that it's, you know, getting better and better for all those kind of things like that. Everything that I know, I have not gone to university yet. Everything that I know is just from watching YouTube tutorials and everything like that. Now, if you want to learn 3D modeling, you just go on YouTube and search it up or anything like that. You know, I think this stuff is just, you know, getting better, and the quality of these tutorials too are getting better. You know, you see people making, even on like YouTube and stuff, for free, these massive long courses that are, you know, 18 hours long or something like that. Like I'm friends kind of ish with the Free Code Camp guy, Quincy Larson. He's pretty cool. And the whole Free Code Camp thing in general on YouTube, you'll have these like, you know, 4-18 hour long or whatever long just tutorials on like in a completely modern thing. You can just watch that and you just become so good at that. There's no ads or anything like that, and it's so well made.
Well, but that's you, right? I mean, like, you would be able to consume that. Like, what I'm asking, like, all these young kids, right? Like, I mean, they're one of the companies that comes to mind is like Top Hat, right? They're really like doing some really cool things in the education space. Just thinking about like for the average person that, you know, that isn't like has this massive like really good attention span, and that is just, you know, being able to really teach him something in a more like interactive way, as opposed to going to a classroom and sitting in a lecture, which seems like, you know, that's going to change. What are your thoughts there of that industry?
I mean, I think that kind of stuff will change many times. You know, of course, like we're talking about like Neuralink kind of stuff like that. Right. You know, eventually you can just download the knowledge of basically anything. I mean, there's many cool things you can do. I mean, I think right now, as things move so digitally, you know, it would be smart to make just online platforms for just education in general. Like, I was working on something that was basically Microsoft Teams before Microsoft Teams came out. But then once they came out with that, it was like, why make that? I can't compete with Microsoft or anything like that with all that kind of stuff they have integrated. But, you know, it would be so cool to have a platform. I think I tweeted about that a long time ago. But like my school, I don't go to the school anymore, but we used to use we used to do something called Schoology, which is kind of, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's kind of like a school management kind of thing like that. Like, I'm able to click on my classes and see what homework I have. And then we use another thing called Skyward, and we have like all these other programs and everything like that. It would be cool to just have one thing kind of combined, which in a way is kind of what Microsoft Teams is. But yeah, I mean, a lot of these kind of platforms are becoming really popular these days. I mean, you can see Zoom and how much they've grown because of the pandemic. That kind of stuff is really useful these days. So just all kinds of just different ways to learn, I guess. There's just all kinds of cool platforms you could make just because the world is so digital now. People are going to continue working from home, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's hard to just make a competitor to YouTube, right? But, you know, it's so cool that all that kind of stuff is on those platforms in the first place. You can just really learn anything online. I mean, like my Webby Award thing, my speech was, you can learn anything online. I only had 5 words. And it really is true. I mean, you can learn underwater basket weaving if you want to. You can learn how to, you know, do anything, really.
Right.
It's hard to think of stuff that you can't learn from a YouTube tutorial.
Yeah. So as we, I think we've already been doing this interview for an hour, but it's just really interesting talking to you. One of the things that, you know, from separate, obviously, from kind of like all this learning and all these things that you have, is I'm sure like your motivation when you, mm-hmm. when you wake up, or like, what is the one thing that you feel like, where do you get your motivation from? Or where does it drive? Cause you obviously yeah. have this massive motivation to just learn new stuff. But what is that kind of like motivating? It's just it uh-huh. to like accomplish amazing things.
Yeah.
You're not driven by the money, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, money is not a goal for me. I feel like money comes as a side benefit from doing all these kinds of things like that. You know, I made the pandemic website not to make money, but you know, there still is, I guess, in the end, like the little donation button, you can donate if you want right. to. That's just a side thing.
And I so with like, that, I saw you raised like 400,000, right? Already?
Something like that. How did you find that number? Did it say that somewhere?
Yeah, it said in one of the articles I read.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah. Huh. I wonder how, okay. Anyways. But yeah, so that kind of stuff just comes as like a side benefit in a way mm-hmm. from doing something like that. You know, if I had put advertisements, you know, all over the site, that would be a different story. But yeah, like, I forgot what I was talking about. I guess like my motivation really mm-hmm. is just, it's all really self-motivation. I mean, I'd say that the one thing I haven't really figured out yet in terms of thinking is like, why do I want to do these kind of things? You know, the simple answer is just, yeah, you know, I want to push the human race forward kind of thing like that. But if I really think about it, like, I don't really know why I want to make these, you know, societal changing things that are as, you know, just change, like world changing as things like the iPhone or, you know, the internet or, you know, the printing press or something like that. You know, I don't exactly know why I want to. You know, I'm doing it and I have all the motivation for it. And every single day I'm doing something, you know, different like that. It's hard to know really though, the why. Like that's the one question in my life that I still think about. Maybe I'll find the answer to eventually, but like, why do I want it? Because money and everything like that's cool and all. But as long as I have enough money to do just really whatever I want, then mm-hmm. I'm fine. I don't need 100 billion. I mean, that comes as a side from making things like Elon Musk is worth now like some 100 billion or whatever. But I mean, if I had $100 million right now, I would probably start a space company or something like that. You know, I wouldn't just go to the Bahamas for the rest of my life or something. You know, if I had that kind of stuff, I would just reinvest it into my own things. Money is not, it's just a tool. It's not something I'm really trying to achieve, but you know, it's just a tool to do all kinds of things. I still think about that every day. And it's the one thing that's been on my mind so much is that, you know, why do I want to do all these things? And it's hard to come up with an answer for that than just the rather simple thing is just, you know, make the world a better place. Like, you know, the classic thing that all these Silicon Valley things say, we want to make the world a better place. Like, yeah, okay, sure. But like the actual reason why you want to do that, I don't know. It's hard to think about. Yeah. I mean, like, what do you think? Like, well, I don't know.
I mean, like it was just hearing you talk, I think like your motivation is just like, okay, what's like, what can I do? What's my next move? So you're always thinking of like, okay, like how can I learn and what's my next mm-hmm. Sort of like project, like interesting thing that I'm working on. I think at some point you'll kind of like realize what you really want to do. Like Elon says, like, well, I just uh-huh. really want to put people on the moon, that kind of stuff. But I think you'll, you know, like as you sort of like keep going, I definitely think you'll find that sort of that angle. But definitely interesting, like your desire, hunger to learn is I think you're like right now your biggest driver, and it's just
I mean, I just like making things, really. I just like making things and posting it online, which is the same thing I did with the pandemic website. I had no idea it was going to become a global pandemic. My generation, I wasn't even alive for 9/11, for example. I've never had, like, yeah, it's weird to think about that, but like I've never even had the experience of something like that. I had no idea this was going to become big. This is just another project I had made. I made all kinds of things. I made this one thing. I made this website with data from the InSight lander on Mars. So they have this data for this lander that streams back like the weather information mm-hmm. from a specific place. So I was just learning APIs at the time, and that was a project to make. So I just took that API and made like a modern weather website. It actually still works. It's pretty cool. And you can still see, you can just see like on this Sol, which is how they say day on Mars, you know, there's this, you know, this is the atmospheric pressure, you know, this is the temperature, everything like that. It was pretty cool. And that was just a project I made, just like the pandemic website was. I just posted it online. You know, I sent that website to NASA. They thought it was cool, everything like that. And also, you know what I find interesting? So they recommended that I apply for a NASA internship, but I could not apply for a NASA internship because my GPA is not high enough. You need like a 3.5 or 3.0 or something like that. And I'm just such a terrible student. So I find that kind of funny, is that I'm able to make something like this, but at the same time, my GPA, which is a meaningless, stupid number, isn't enough to apply for a NASA internship. So really stupid. But
and again, like I mean, like just from reading your article, it seems like your GPA is just not there because you just are you somebody that unless you're like fully engaged, your mind just wanders.
Completely. I would have like the math final the next day, and I just couldn't get myself to even study. Like I would be on my textbook, and I would just. I remember I had like a textbook thing, and I was doodling this idea for some kind of 3D modeling, like community mm-hmm. replicator thing or whatever.
Right.
My mind just wanders to all these mm-hmm. different things.
Yeah, and you can only focus really, really well when it's stuff that really, really interests you. And there you
go. Yeah, I mean, I find it really hard to be interested. When I was in class and stuff, I'd either be sleeping, I'd be on my phone, or I'd be thinking about like random crazy ideas, or I'd be like, you know, working on stuff. I remember I was in like ceramics class. My teacher would like turn around, and I'd like open my laptop and like start coding like the ENCOV website.
Right.
It was such a hassle to deal with back then when I was still in school. But, you know, it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's just stuff. I mean, it's hard to focus on that kind of stuff when my mind is just wandering. I mean, like I had like the math final the next day
right.
and like I was like, here's an example. I had to do something in chemistry class where I had to do something like a periodic table of elements, but I just couldn't get myself to do the worksheet. What I did instead was I coded this entire website to like illustrate the table of elements with like these things you could drag and drop and like all these cool glowy effects or whatever. It was really cool. I mean, I showed my teacher that, which was pretty cool. But, you know, I hope that school will become more creative and open, you know, towards the future and stuff, just because the way school is right now is very much, you know, such a simple, well-rounded, I guess you could say, experience for just average people. But, you know, for people like me, it just doesn't work. I just can't do yeah. school. I mean, like you would read my articles and you'd expect that I'm like a perfect 4.0 student or anything like that. My GPA was like under 2.0 or something like that. I mean, it was terrible.
Under 2.0?
All my time doing this. Yeah, it was so bad. towards the very end, yeah. But yeah, I just spent all my time doing these things. I mean, I don't recommend that people completely do that just because, well, like what would I have done if I hadn't made this website? But, you know, I just couldn't get myself to do that kind of stuff. Like
yeah.
I was in a web development class that I randomly took, but I didn't focus during that class. I just spent my entire time working on the coronavirus website. Just back then, you needed like daily maintenance and everything.
Right.
But just because there's so many new countries getting infected, so many things breaking, etc. And I got like a D+ in that class just because I submitted the final at. She said that the due date was like 11:59 or something like that, and I was like, okay, it's probably 11:59 p.m., but it was 11:59 a.m., which is so random. Who makes something due at noon? So I submitted it a couple hours late. And that was like my big final project. And she wouldn't accept that. And that was that for that class. But at the same time, she's boasting to her other, you know, teachers, saying that, you know, her student is the one that's making this massive website. So I find that hilarious.
Like,
I'm doing web development, but at the same time, she's like, I don't know, it was ridiculous. She was such a terrible teacher too. My God. Like after class, she would just immediately leave and all the kids in the class would have like no idea what we're doing. So I remember once I said for like over an hour just after class and they would just form a line and I would just help them all with their computer problems. She was teaching like stuff that was deprecated in HTML4, which came out in like 1997.
Okay.
I mean, it was terrible. I asked her like, why are you teaching these things that are terrible to teach? And she just said, I'm just following the textbook. And the textbook she was using.
Oh, that is just
90s.
Such a bomb. Right.
Yeah. I mean, the textbook is from I mean, can you imagine if you're someone that, you know, maybe you're interested, this was at a dual enrollment thing with my local community college. But can you imagine if someone there then is like, you know, I'm going to try computer science. Maybe I'll like it. They take that class and such a terrible, terrible class that they're so off put by that. But maybe they really, really would have liked that. Maybe that would have been a, you know, total good career change for them. But, you know, they just had such a terrible first impression with it that they didn't do that. And that kind of sucks that the teachers are that bad. But yeah, at least I help some students.
Yeah, no. Yeah, when somebody says, oh, we just, you know, I have to do it this way because that's the way it's done, or just that's because I'm just following protocol, you're like, it's always, you know, like, get out.
It's terrible.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Avi, you know, as we get close to the kind of like this interview, we've been talking for quite a while. This has been awesome. If people want to sort of, you know more about you, connect with you, find out more about your like upcoming projects, where can they find out more about you?
You can just really, I'd say follow me on Twitter or Instagram. You can really see what I'm working on my day by day basis. It's just my name, you know, @ Avi Shiffman. Yeah, that's the best way to find me. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is really fun to talk about this stuff. You know, I like talking to, you know, doing podcasts or interviews or all that kind of stuff like that. Just because, you know, it's like talking to like a brick wall if I talk to like my parents or teachers or anything like that. They don't care at all really about really what I'm doing. But reporters are, you know, generally interested in what I'm talking about. So it's really fun. It's an active conversation. So that stuff is really fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Big Pivot podcast. Don't forget to click that subscribe button. Check out the Fiesta app where you will find some amazing breakthrough pivots and aha moments in just 30 seconds of pure awesomeness from some of the best podcasts out there, or just say, Alexa, play Fiesta podcast clips. You can visit our website at fiesta.app or download the app on iOS or Android, where you can record your podcast with studio quality, create and distribute 30-second video highlights, and reach 100 million households with the Alexa Skill app. See you guys on the next episode, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.